Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to another episode of the Dr. Supercoach Podcast. You're on again this week with JB, and I'm joined by Pistol again, mate. Back-to-back weeks for us.
Not the illustrious Pistol. I've lost the title, have I?
Hey, I saw your score this week. The title's gone. It's long gone. Do you want to tell the... We can start with you. Do you want to tell the people?
Thanks. Yeah.
Get out of the way. Rip the band-aid off.
Yeah, it wasn't great. You know what's funny? Everyone's like, oh, I benched Weddle and I benched Humphrey or I benched Atkins and I lost these, you know, rookie roulette and I score really badly. And I'm like looking at my team and I benched Drury's 12 to take Simpson's 20 and gain 8 points. So I won the rookie roulette realistically and still only ended up with a 2.503. So I fell... just hovering. I fell 118 spots to 15.21. So just outside the top 1K as I've been for like 3 weeks now. I've moved 200 spots in 3 weeks. So that's impressive.
It's crazy that because that's typically an unbelievable score.
No, this round. It's pretty average.
That is just like the contract that the round was so good that there was a week earlier, it was like week two or three, where we were... like if we were getting over 2,000, we were like, "Let's go!" And now it's at 2,500, and I drop ranks. Like it's just crazy how many ebbs and flows are in this game.
And I know you've been waiting for it, but how did you go this week, JB?
I've not been waiting for it because I'm not a bragger.
Get it out the way.
I had a good week. I ranked 894 for the week, so it was a good one. I unfortunately lost my one rookie roulette that I was counting on, and I benched Humphrey for Simpson. I took that as I'm just glad to have owned Humphrey, I guess. But the 81 points that I lost there was upsetting because I scored 26.56. It would have put me in a much, like, 80 points is crazy in a week. No matter how well you end up scoring, 80 points is still massive. But I'm up to rank 2,611. So I think I was the slowest podcaster to sort of get into gear this year. I think I was ranked 10. I got into the 10K, I think, 3 weeks ago. And since then, it's been good strides. So
I think you've halved your rank pretty much for most of the last 3 weeks, I think.
So yeah, essentially.
You're about 1 week away from overtaking me.
It might be that way. Now, my team is shaping up pretty well. We both have Clayton Oliver to look at. But before we get into that, firstly, we are powered by Code Sports again. So very thankful for our sponsors at Code Sports. And before we get into anything else, we do also have a couple of Cancer Council donations.
So first up, we have CD Boom, who's straight captained Oliver on a Friday night. Thanks very much for your donation. Thankfully, you got out of that one without egg on your face. To Jeff Lane, he says, Josh Dunkley C, thank you, JB. If that's referring to your captaincy videos, JB, where you said to captain Dunkley or Zeret. So
huge.
You really nailed that. Yeah, absolutely yeah, nailed it last week.
Honestly, I do appreciate that. I'm getting a lot of love on Slack and on the YouTube, in the YouTube comments. Much appreciated. If you haven't checked out the captain's videos, they're every single week, usually on a Thursday. I think last week was on a Friday, though. So there, I think it drops around when teams drop. So I have hit most of them this year. So I do see myself as a good captainer. That's the last brag I'll do this podcast.
In the midst brag, you know, the last week and the week before rookie rankings that we did on the Monday podcast before, you know, we could ignore the Thursday podcast. On the Monday podcast had Humphreys as number one, and the one before that we had Atkins and Weddle as one and two. So lots going right for the listeners. Unfortunately, I haven't taken a single word of my own advice or your captaincy advice, so that's why it's gone badly for the last 3 weeks for me. But anyway, Delwyn says, donating for dumb things because I benched Sinclair to take Weddle's score.
Not dumb. Not dumb, in my opinion. I think that
was smart. You've got to take a 114 if it appears on your bench. It's just that's unlucky, but I appreciate the donation nonetheless. That's just rough. And then you're not the only one. There was a couple guys that have done that, so that's
absolutely
tough. Jason has donated for dumb things. Didn't realize that I could have loopholed Simpson with Wilmot via DPP, so I ended up with Simpson's 20 on the field and Wilmot's 83 on the bench. The donation amount represents Wilmot's score multiplied by Simpson's score. I appreciate the donation and the maths behind the donation. Thanks very much, Jason.
That is clever. A very clever way to donate. We love clever ways to donate. That is more of a donate for dumb things, but it's unfortunate because sometimes these loops with all the DPPs we've got access to this year, they just don't appear to you until it's a little bit too late. And there was a week earlier in the season where I give you all the credit in the world because you messaged me about Liam Jones, who had an 88 on my bench, and said, oh, by the way, really lucky that you were able to take that Liam Jones score. And I had a look and I was like, oh my God, I can take that score. I was really depressed that I was going to miss that one until you pointed it out. So sometimes it just takes a second look on your team and you're like, oh wow, that's actually really, really obvious, isn't it? So it happens to the best of us, Jason.
I think that same week someone else did the same thing. I think it was Pizza Safety on Twitter. I think I also shouted out the Liam Jones loophole, the same one. So I got a couple of people with that one. It was a hard one to see. Alrighty, that is the last donation for the Cancer Council. Thanks everybody for your donations. Absolutely flying this year with already a couple of $100 raised for the Cancer Council. So it's just super appreciated.
Yeah, people looking after us on the Cancer Council. So always very appreciative of the work that goes in there from the community. And it's a real culture in Slack. You go in there and we don't promote gambling. There is a betting channel where everyone can just do it. We don't want it judgmental. People can do what they want in there. It's a dark side of Slack. But on top of that, you have people in other channels like, oh, this captain's not going to score that. Oh, $10 to the Cancer Council. And that's just incredible. Like that's above and beyond what anyone needs to actually do. So it's really cool. Now, I've been trying to click around and look for the leagues because I wanted to just shout out a couple of our leagues, but I'm struggling to find where it is.
Oh,
but
well.
Essentially, we've got some good leagues up there. So shout out to you guys. And we'll
18 men leagues, the real leagues.
Yeah, I mean, what other leagues are there?
It's all of them.
Wow, basically. You can sort by, oh, I found it, 6-team, 8-team, 10, 12, 14, 20-team leagues.
Yeah, I mean, that's,
well, that's cheating, stock standard
now, but yeah.
That's cheating. That's you've got too many.
That's too many teams, yeah. I
absolutely
agree.
So, all right, well, now while I'm here, looks like leagues 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 11,
that many?
16.
I am not in nearly any of these. No wonder they're doing well.
Well, you are in at least four of them because
it's
all
true. Actually, people may have been added me, and I may not have.
I don't think you're in the Young Bucks, though. That one's leading us at three. I don't think you qualify for that one, do you?
No, it's unfortunately I do not. But thanks for adding that in.
I'm in that one, just so you know.
Thanks, JB. Appreciate it.
I got you. Okay, let's get into some Supercoach chat. So the big thing, obviously, the big bit of news that is just coming through from Melbourne, Clayton Oliver is going to miss a, what did they say, a short-term?
Short-term,
it's a short, yeah. Short-term injury. So they're removing weeks from it, which clubs are tending to do at the moment.
So annoying. So
for a hamstring, in my opinion, if you strain your hamstring in any way, there is no such thing as a one-week hamstring. Like, there is the occasional player in the league that has, like, these miraculous healing abilities and they, like they Steel. Do things like Jack Steele and they get it back in, like, before the desired timeline. But hamstrings, like, maybe I've seen a one-week hamstring once and, like, it just wasn't that, like, it wasn't really a strain. It was more of, like, a niggle. I think this is like, a 2 to 3 week injury. I think I can safely say 2 to 3. If it's 3... then the bye follows the third week of injury. So it's a four-weeker.
I mean, they may as well. Like, if they've got the bye there to just give him the 3 weeks plus one bonus, just extra yep. recovery. Look, there might be more news later in the week, so this whole discussion might be irrelevant. If it's 1 week, I'm holding. If it's 2 weeks flat, JB, and they come out and they say it's 2 weeks, will you be holding?
I personally won't be. I think it's a real discussion of like how many trades, how many upgrades, and it's going to really become for a lot of teams the discussion of what the money actually does for you, whether you think you can confidently getting back, and essentially where your rookies are at and sort of how much money that you are generating, because some teams are going to trade him out, go down in money, and just know for a fact they probably can't get them back unless everything goes right.
Yeah,
and I think that's okay. and yeah, it is like you, but I think that's okay because it's a bit of an opportunity to just generate a bit of cash where you did not think you were going to get any from. So I think it's okay. It's okay.
Well, if it's 2 weeks, like if they say it's a 1 to 2 weeker, I probably would hold him because I am in a dire trade situation. But... if short term, if we have no more information, then I'm just going to trade because I think it'll probably be 4 weeks and that's a long time. I know it runs through the buys and you can get away with it and that makes me feel better about a 2 weeker. But as soon as it's a 3, it's a 4 weeker. So it's just, that's a lot.
Can I disagree with the, it's going through the buys and you're hiding him in the buys? This year might be the most difficult year to get 18 on field. Hiding him in the buys doesn't mean you're taking a 50. It probably means you're taking a 0. And if you're taking a 0 to what other people get, you know, a Lachie Neal or a Zach Merritt or a Caleb Sarong, we'll talk about options later. But if people are doing that instead, you're probably dropping like people are probably dropping a couple of tons on your decision. I think it's the worst year to do that. And unless you're really set up for the buys and you have to really look at your team and your buy structure. I think it's you're probably in a worse position this year than any other year to do that sort of thing.
One will be round 13 though, which everyone will be able to.
That's the okay one.
You get 18 premiums out probably. So
yeah,
then it's really only a 2 week injury, basically like a 2 week missed in terms of points on your field.
Who do you have on your midfield bench right now?
Me, I got no one.
Well, neither do I. And I'm in an okay position.
I got Matt Johnson. Yep, he might play, so that will be good. I got Drury, so that's combined points so far is not great. And Constable, so
I got Roberts on top of that. Sharp, Angwin, Simpson, like all these. None of these guys scored.
No, I got
those
guys on my field.
Well, that's a bit troubling, but none of those guys scored 50 points or more this week. And three of them were sub affected, and Angwin might as well have been sub affected. Like it's really dire on the bench for, I would assume, 90% of the player base. If it's not, then sure, you can convince me, you can twist my arm. But like, what are you doing? Are you going to a Wardlaw early to sort of like get someone to cover him? I don't like doing that though. I don't like the, you know, starting the trend of getting in a rookie early each week because you've gotten one the last week, which you have done to yourself this year as well.
The whole season.
Yeah, it starts a snowball effect.
But why
you
stop
end up
now?
Not being able to stop. Yeah, that's the problem.
I'll just keep
one
going, JB.
You do have to stop. No, you do have
to
stop.
The one week that I didn't do it was the Atkins Weather week where they've been really good rookies.
Yeah, maybe it's just your decision making, but yeah, I don't know entirely.
Now, Wardlaw, I mean, look, the Ford has scored well, but I wouldn't go early on Ford because his role is still a Ford.
You can't go early on Ford. Yeah.
So that you can't do that, but you might want him if he puts out back-to-back tons. So we can put a weight on that one. Then you got Wardlaw, who I quite confidently say that you'll definitely want to get because he looks amazing. So that's two. So then you're already like... If
it's a
buy
round next week, though, which so you have three trades.
That's a good point. You do get the extra trade. Yep, that's fair enough. I mean, if you wanted to do something like 5-4, something.
I'm just taking down your whole argument. Yes.
Yeah, you pretty much have. You can wait. I mean, if you're going to hold Oliver, you probably want Wardlaw on field, though. I probably feel okay getting
him. Well, that's the problem. So holding him doesn't just. You don't just cop your reserve score. You don't just go play it down in most of the buys.
When you get Humphrey?
You also have to go early on someone. And Humphrey is someone who we're going to discuss. You know what? Do you want to just discuss rookies now? It's probably easier to do them first.
I dare you.
So I double dare you. So Bailey Humphrey, negative 54 break even. If he scores 60 plus this week, he goes up more than 50K. The next week is the issue because when he goes up more than 50K, he ends up at about 325K.
Wow.
And if he gets around a 60, then his break even goes to about 30. So then if he potentially gets 60 again, and you can see where I'm going with this, it's only a 15K rise, which means he's made you 60K since you got him. But then he's starting to go down in price. Then he needs those spike scores again. In the two games that you need him to do okay in, he's got Western Bulldogs at TO and Adelaide at TO. Not sure why they have so many games at TO. Someone tell me what's going on with Metricon at the moment. But they've got back-to-back games at TO versus Bulldogs and Adelaide. After that, they've then got the bye and then Carlton, Hawthorn, Collingwood, Port, blah, 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 blah. So you're not going to have him at that stage, right? I wouldn't think. So you're really trading him in for like the potential for 60K plus grab. And then he's probably not making you much money unless he keeps spiking. Now, can he keep spiking is the question. He just got 101 against Brisbane, backing up his 117 against West Coast at Optus Stadium. I don't know. His role, I think he's better than what people expected Flanders' role to be in the preseason. But I didn't think Flanders' role was sustainable. So I definitely don't think a rookie can come in and average 100 in that role. So I'm expecting the 60s. So it's really hard to endorse him as a trade-in option this week when he's already made, 120K.
It was staggering to see, flicked open the app. So I was out at dinner on Saturday night, and then you see Humphrey leading disposal. Get like 9 touches a quarter time. I'm like, what in the world is going on? That is absurd. But I think he only had, 20 for the game. So... it was just positive scaling, I think.
It's because he's kicking the goals because Gold Coast are being really competitive at the moment, which is weird without Tuk Miller, but they keep doing it. But competitive against Brisbane, that's a good game by them. They were competitive against Melbourne, which is a good game by them. They were obviously good against West Coast. Bulldogs and Adelaide, they're another two good teams. Where's the down game going to come from? They're not going to beat the Bulldogs. I would say with quite a lot of confidence that they won't beat the Bulldogs. But Adelaide is beatable, I guess.
Depends which Adelaide turns up.
That's the thing. Adelaide have high variance. They could get blown away at the same time. So I'm just wondering what happens when he's on the other side of that coin with Gold Coast putting together. They're not going to keep doing this for the rest of the season, I wouldn't think. I wish they would. I like Gold Coast, but... to keep doing what they're doing feels a little bit unsustainable. And when those downs come, I expect the lower scores to come. And then his cash generation just stops.
Yeah.
And if you trade him in for a 30 this week, then you're pulling your hair out.
Yeah, you make 30K and you almost have to trade him the next week.
Yeah, and you lose 2 trades.
Yeah, it's a risk-reward type situation. I mean, we were sitting here saying almost identical things last week.
Yeah,
and
true.
He managed to pull out a ton against Brisbane at the Gabba. So can he do it again? Maybe, and he might, and then we'll look silly. But it just feels like if you pulled it off last week, kudos. But I just feel a lot better avoiding him this week and picking up someone like Wardlaw if I had to. I think that's where my mind goes, JB.
Well, I still don't like Wardlaw early.
Against Collingwood. It's not good.
Yeah, against Collingwood. And he's already had an injury-prone season in the VFL. So
true.
I know we haven't seen it at AFL level, but that doesn't mean it doesn't exist as much as I wish it didn't. But look, I plan on 100 million percent trading Wardlaw in, but it will not be this week under any circumstance. So I'm just trying to. It's hard because you consider everything, and
I need to field someone. I need to pick somebody. I can't sit here and say no trades.
Okay. Well, if it's not Wardlaw and it's not Ford because they've only played one game.
Yeah,
I'm having a look through the list right now.
Is it McAndrew who's just played one game?
No, it's not McAndrew because Hickey's back this week. Phoenix Spicer, no, it's not him. He does not have high enough.
Is it Weddle?
Fleeton, Cam Fleeton. I mean, every other GWS defender has fallen over at this point.
Yeah, it's got around 15 by, which is not ideal.
Not great. He's got the potential to stay in the side, though. Besides that, hey, Drury's only 112K. Oh, you've got him.
You could get Cadman. Yeah, thanks. Cadman, 147K. He's only averaging 24.
Yeah, and he's got 18 on the weekend. It's really bad, isn't it?
I mean, I wouldn't say it's good.
It's genuinely Fleeton this Briggs? Week.
Can't even get him on field anyway.
Nah. It's genuinely... It feels like Fleeton this week or like you don't get a rookie.
I'm not going to mid-pricer.
I understand wanting Wardlaw a week early. I just think against Collingwood and with the injury history, I just think you're starting another snowball effect that just doesn't end well.
But who would you then... You'd be playing Drury on field. You want to play Sharp on field if Wemsford's dropped? Like, you've got to pick somebody in this gun-to-the-head scenario. You don't have a choice of... None is not an option. Otherwise, you're playing Drury on field.
Wait, so are you saying by keeping Clayton Oliver or are you just saying in general?
Well, for me specifically, in all cases, it ends up with Drury on field.
In your case, I understand it a lot more. If you're trying to get a 40 off field, Oliver, I understand it a lot more. But if you're going to hold Oliver and get Wardlaw instead, I wouldn't do that. I would just trade Oliver.
What about Fife? It's 243K.
When Fife plays a game, like a full four quarters, I'll be highly interested in what he can do from that point onwards. He hasn't done that yet, and in my opinion, he won't do that for at least another fortnight. I think they get him to his bye as the sub. There's going to be a game where someone probably goes down injured and maybe he has to play three and a half quarters instead of three quarters, but essentially he is not ready to play four quarters of football yet, so he cannot be an option for Supercoach.
I thought he looked pretty good when he was on. I mean, he gave away 250-meter penalties playing forward because he doesn't know how to play forward. He just knows how to play as a midfielder. He was on track. I mean, 250s against. He would have been close to a 70 score by three-quarter time when they put the vest on. And he got, I think, what was it, 48% CBAs off the top of my head as well. So his role was decent. Obviously, he went forward and gave away 50-meter penalties, so that wasn't good. But I think at a price of only 240K, there's 100K potential money making in there.
Eventually, but it's just not now. Yeah, like his break even is still about 60, 64 or something.
Yeah.
Off the top of my head. So I just think...
I think he'll be subbed out again, I mean. Yeah.
Yeah, and if he scores 80 plus, then we're like, oh, wow, he's gone up 4K, so let's just get him now then. Josh Weddle... is 230K with a -47 break even.
I think so. The difference between like Weddle and Humphrey is I think Humphrey
has like a role.
His role, I mean, it's not even like an amazing role, but the thing is he's playing like to this his disability where technically with that role and a good ability you can average pretty well. But I think for Weddle playing on a wing for one of the worst teams in the AFL. Like even at your very best. He was more back
pocket than wing, I thought.
He was playing like defensive wing. That's how he kicked the goals because he was running all the way back up.
He kicked the goals because there was like 22 players from either side in that forward 50 for the entire game.
That really was
the most embarrassing game of football I've seen from a club ever in my life.
It wasn't good. And it was tragic, did make it hard to judge. But I think primarily his role is not meant to be back pocket, but there was a lot of freedom. And they were doing whatever they wanted, that playing against witches' hats. But he's got Port and Brisbane after the Saints game, and I think both of those matchups are bad. So if you bring him in now, you'd probably do make 60K, but then you're not. I don't think you're going to be getting great scores.
I don't think there's room to downgrade this week. I don't think there's a rookie that I want this week, and I see the most popular trades live right now. Number three is Sam Simpson to Eddie Ford, and I think that's a big mistake.
Against Collingwood.
There's every chance Eddie Ford is out of this team in 2 weeks' time.
Yeah.
With a 30 and then a, you know, something and then a sub appearance and then he's gone. Like, people trading in Eddie Ford right now, he could be great, but you could be just making a huge error. It's not worth having a 123 guy stuck on your bench for the rest of the season for. It's not. Like, no matter what the situation is, if you feel like you need to make an upgrade this week, I didn't make an upgrade 2 weeks ago because I didn't feel that the players that I would potentially be upgrading to and the rookie that I would then have to get for that, I didn't feel like that sacrifice was worth it. So I didn't do an upgrade. And I scored well this week. I'm surviving, like, and I'm making a double upgrade this week or a sideways an upgrade. Like, it's just... I think it all seems so desperate at the time. Like, you have to keep on top of these premium upgrades, but you don't. And coming into the buys, as long as your players on field are like not scoring what Simpson scored for me or Drury, I just think you have to just keep on keeping on. And if that means holding trades for a week, it is what it is. If your rookies are like extremely dire, like, I understand you're in that position yourself, and there might be a couple of others, like players that are even dropped from those options that you have. I can maybe understand someone like Wardlaw early. That's probably the only situation I'd even consider it. And it's not for Clayton Oliver or anything like that. It's not to trade him in to cover Clayton Oliver. It's because your rookies on field are doing so poorly and they might all be dropped, sort of thing.
So... Eddie Ford's priced at 123K, not because he's like hasn't played before. He's played 8 games. He was priced at that because that's what he averaged. Last season, correct. He has a season average of 16. But to be fair to him, one of those was a green vest 0, but the other two were a 33 and a 16. And then in 21, he had 4 games and 80 and 237s and a 36. So... I would lean towards, against Collingwood, a score closer to 37 than 102. And that would make me very scared to buy him early just to see him out of the team in 2 weeks. I already got one of those in Drury. I don't need to get a second one. But we'll see. Agreed. He could put out 100 this week and then I'll get it.
He could be great, but agreed. So that doesn't really leave us in a position to...
What about Atkins? Like,
well,
290K.
Here was another one I was going to bring up, but it's not the same as Humphrey because I actually believe in Atkins' role. I think he's a 70-plus average, but with back-to-back 70s, he has the exact same issue in a sense that he makes 60K with back-to-back 70s, but then he's priced at like 70. He's priced at 350K, and then he really needs to spike. And does he have spike scores in him? He scored 102 against Brisbane this week. He could potentially have a spike score, but you're trading him in for 2 tough games and then a bye. Depends how long you want to hold him for, but he tops out at his bye, as does Humphrey. It just makes it a tough sell because you could be doing it for, like, what if he scores 60 this week in back-to-back 60s? He just makes 50K and you're trading him out at his buy for 50K, 2 trades. Like, they're just too expensive to start playing around with, I think, these guys.
I feel like his biggest concern for me isn't the scoring potential. I do believe he'll score well.
Yeah,
it's more the job security. Like, he's one bad game away from being dropped.
Yeah, that's likely true as well. Hopefully it's for Constable.
I mean,
I've got those guys kind of tethered together right now, so I wouldn't hate Constable coming in and making 100K, but...
That would be unbelievable if he could come back in this week.
Could you imagine? Like, they just have someone
play him on field. He'd straight away be on field.
He would be on your field. Interesting. So it's tough. We're not really recommending a rookie this week, which I think is very unique. And I think even in past seasons, I would recommend.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Going early. This season, it feels really wrong to go early. It feels like karma is catching people out and going early on rookies, and you know, unexpected rookies are getting dropped or scoring poorly or getting injured, and we're already left with too much deadwood, I think. So you have to have a really unique situation where you've got rookies and cash gen coming out your backside, where before I would start saying, oh yeah, get Woodlaw on to cover a 40 on your field. It's just really unlikely.
Can I just say though, for North fans out there, Woodlaw and Cheezel, that center bounces, like, what a combo that's going to be for the next decade. They looked unbelievable. I mean, there was literally could look at Wardlaw look like chasing around like a madman. It just reminded me so much of Oliver, and she's all playing like a Petrarca type role. I'm like, oh my God, these guys are so good and so young. Like, it was a happy day to be in Northfolk.
I understand booing Horn Francis, but like, how can you be mad at what you got in return? Because both of those guys are going to be incredible players. I think it's a lot of excitement for the club.
Absolutely. They look so good. Like, geez. I mean, Sheasel's role was bad, JB. And I was like, oh no, it's come to the end. We're going to have to trade him. He's playing like half forward, half midfielder. This is terrible. And then he's just so good as a player that he still scored well at Supercoach.
I think there's every chance people will look to either make him their loop between forward and defense, or they'll look to sort of upgrade him. Maybe he's some people's way back into Clayton Oliver. But I think there's the potential that that happens in a few weeks' time. There's also the potential that he's just like continuing to average 105 plus and just going crazy every week. So he's literally had two subtons. One was a tag, and one was a bit of a strange sort of bashing by Port. So, like, besides that, he has been perfect all tons throughout the season. So
Collingwood this week will be a big test if he has that role.
Well, you don't tag, though.
We don't tag, and I don't think we'll put anyone on him. But if he's playing half forward against Collingwood, that's terrible.
Tough. It is tough. Well, we'll see. Yeah. Like, I'm really okay with, you know, 80s against the good teams and tons against the sort of...
Absolutely.
Not bad teams, but like...
Terrible teams.
Well, Sydney's not a terrible team, but it was a close game.
Just the worst team.
After Collingwood, he has Essendon and GWS. I expect both of those games to be tons, even in a sort of half-forward, mid-forward role. He's still got like 11 CBAs.
Yeah. I mean, he was so good as well. He could have kicked two more goals in that last quarter. Like, he left a 140 on the card, on the table.
He's very good. Okay, so back to Clayton Oliver. We just need to go through who we can potentially trade him to.
Yep.
And I know that's a long list of players. We've got everyone in midfielders. it is pretty much everyone in the game unless you don't have Bont. Is pretty much the only guy who's going to stop you from doing it in one trade. Petrarca is $100 or less, so that is a consideration. Well, let's start there, to be honest. Do you think people are in positions financially to just make $100 on this trade, getting a guy averaging, you know, he's going 117, but his last 5 weeks have been about 130. Does he go better with Clayton Oliver out of the side? Does he get more attention? He's essentially the same price.
Yeah, I think that I would. I don't think the money matters that much to most people because you've already paid up for Clayton Oliver, and cash gen for majority of people shouldn't be too bad like it is for me. So I don't mind doing the sideways to Petrarca, but I didn't like what I saw last week just in terms of that ankle. They were worried throughout the week that he'd rolled his ankle, and then I just didn't think he looked as good as he had the weeks before. I didn't know if he was just having a bad game or if the ankle did impact him. I think he came home strong to get a good score. He was doing really poorly for most of the game. And I thought, oh, he's going to be really cheap when he puts out a 70 score, and then managed to work his way. Yeah, he worked his way to 102. I think it's fine, and Petrarca is like a really, really, really good player, but I don't think it's my number one option to go to this week.
He's not even really in my top three, maybe top five options. I find it really difficult to justify. I know a lot of people aren't in your financial situation. I got two of the three guys missing out on Weddle being the one. And I still feel like I don't have the money to sideways to a Petrarca. I feel like that's luxury spending that I can't afford at the moment. So I'm seeing it as an opportunity to get. I'm just going to go straight to him. The guy that I'm super, super keen on, I spoke about him last week in my captain video, Zach Merritt. Without, he's missing a lot of midfielders in and amongst Bombers at the moment. Shield hopefully back this week to help him out. But 162 against Richmond, one of the more predictable high scores, in my opinion. Now has West Coast, North Melbourne and Carlton in his next three, followed by Fremantle after the bye. It's looking pretty good for Zach Merritt. And look, there's a chance West Coast throw someone, to sort of follow him around a little bit, but I don't think they're in a position to do much or to, trouble someone much for, more than a quarter and a half. So I think Zach Merritt over the next 3 weeks could be a top 10 scorer in the game, top five scorer in the game even.
Yeah.
And in my opinion, 582K is really, really difficult to pass that up if you don't already own him.
Yep. He'd be my number one option as well. I mean, I already got him last week, so happy days. But he is the guy to get if you don't own him before this run. I think he will get a tag by Xavier O'Neill, but whatever,
Xavier O'Neill, though, he doesn't tag in the CBAs. When there's a ball up or a bounce or whatever, Xavier O'Neill is not in that CBA. He doesn't get CBAs. So someone like Tim Kelly or whatever will be on Zach Merritt and maybe just sort of minding him a little bit closer than what they usually would. But then after that initial CBA, then O'Neill comes. So Zach Merritt can still be a clearance machine and still do everything that he sort of does, besides maybe he might lose some cheapies for a quarter and a half. But I really don't think it's as big a deal as think about the days where Brent McCaffrey used to sort of hold someone to a 50. You know what I mean? I don't think it's going to be like that.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. My favorite guy is Rory Laird at 597K if you don't own him already. Break even is down to 99. He's coming into a decent run of games. I mean, Brisbane this week, Gold Coast, West Coast, Collingwood, North Melbourne, Essendon, GWS. Outside of Collingwood.
Huge.
Yeah, outside of Collingwood and Brisbane this week, it's a really, really nice run. And he didn't get subbed off, which he'd basically been three times this season. So a big 145 looks really good. I think now's the time to get him, probably at one of his lower prices for the season. So I would be jumping on board now.
The sub off 98 against St Kilda was his first sub ton at Adelaide. Oh, no, his second sub ton at Adelaide Oval. He stepped on against Fremantle for a 97.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there goes that stat. But essentially, he generally does extremely well at Adelaide Oval. So even the game against Brisbane at Adelaide Oval, I think, is fine. And then West Coast and North Melbourne at Adelaide Oval and GWS.
Yeah.
And then he versus Gold Coast again in round 21.
Oh, yeah.
And West Coast again in round 24.
I mean, he just lock him in.
Yeah, he has a really good run. So, yeah, absolutely. If you don't own Rory Laird, I'll take the opportunity now as it stands in front of you. Another guy that I like a lot, had a very good week again this week. Lachie Neale has now fully bottomed out, we hope. 109, 128 in his last two after the strange 63 against Carlton. His break even is down to 85. He's got Crows, obviously, this week on the other side of that fixture. Hawthorn the week after his bye. It is a bit hard to sort of talk to people into trading someone in right before their bye. But I think a break even of 85 and against Adelaide at Adelaide Oval, I think it's going to be a decent matchup for him. And then it's in a bye where I don't think people are pretty much neither here nor there. They're not great on it. They're not horrible on it. So if you can afford to get him in, I think it's a pretty good week to do so for Clayton Oliver. And then following that, he's got Hawthorn, Sydney, St Kilda, Richmond, West Coast. So they'll get a bit of a soft kill as well. Three of those games at the Gabba, three of those five. So I think Lachie Neale is back. I have faith in him. So I think he's a good selection as well.
I'm still a tiny bit scared. Like, the price is really good, so that's why I don't mind it, but
he's still averaging 110 for the year. I know he's looked, you know, really poor in a lot of weeks, but
that's my problem.
No, I agree, but 110 looking really bad. Maybe this is the week where he looks bad in the first half and unreal in the second half, but he can't keep, like, there's no reason for him to keep looking scoring bad. Poorly every week. Yeah. Like, he's a champion. So I think we see him turn it around, and I'll just jump in front of you for my last one that I really enjoy before we start going left field.
No, it's left field. It's one obvious one.
Sorry, Jack Steele is my guy.
Okay.
So just to explain his scores a little bit, he scored 126 against Port, which is great. I traded him in against North Melbourne, so I've been watching him since then. He scored 95 in a strange game that really didn't yield many tons at all. I'd like to actually go and look back at that one to see how many tons there actually were, but it was very little. It was a very weird game between those two. He was then subbed out early in the fourth quarter against Adelaide on 84. Looked like a 110 plus gone begging, and then he scored a 135 against GWS. So in my opinion, he's got three 115 plus scores, but one was just the sub out, unfortunately, on 84. So what it's done is it's kept his price low for people who might potentially just want to keep looking at him for another couple of weeks. But now the break even's 86. He's got Hawthorn this week going into his buy as well. I think he's a sublime pick. I think he's going to be really good for the run home. And he's one of those guys who still has, you know, he's got Hawthorn diverse twice, Gold Coast diverse once, North Melbourne, West Coast all traverse as well. So Richmond twice as well, which I think is a very, very soft kill for midfielders at the moment. So I'm very confident on Steele in the run home. He's a big tick for me.
I mean, the only asterisk I still put is worrying about an injury that may or may never occur, but you can't argue the run's really good. The price is the best. Like, the price is incredibly, incredibly good. Yeah. Imagine getting 130K to go Oliver to Steele. Like, that just sounds too good to be true. And his scoring
A lot of people need that, even though they might not think they need it right now. I think a lot of people, that juice, that little bit of cash will help so many people over the next few weeks. And as much as you might not realize it now, it's really, really bloody good. It's almost like you're going one up, one down when you do trades this week with that.
Yeah. No, that's fair enough. I think the guy that I like probably more than Neale is a little bit of a POD, but he shouldn't be because he's a sixth highest scoring midfielder, and it's Caleb Sarong.
Oh,
gosh, he's 612K, so he's pricey. You do make 50K at least from Oliver, so you get some money, not like Petrarca. He's got a break even of 96, but his year has just been incredibly good. He's averaging 116, three round and five round average of 120. He's had 5 games, so half his games above 120, four of them above 130. I think just watching him play, he's taking his game to another level. He looks really good. He was even tagged against, I think it was Hawthorn, he was getting a hard tag and still managed to put out a 105.
Yeah, he's been tagged a few times for a few really low tons. That's pretty much his low tons this year are his tag games.
So when he's not tagged, he kind of scores like 120, and when he's tagged, he scores like the flat 100, which I think is really good. And he's just not in that many teams at this stage of the season. So You can get a good POD that's got a high floor, which is what you like to see, a decent ceiling as well. Not the high ceiling, but still pretty good. And Fremantle looking like they're hitting some sort of form. So if you're going to get Fremantle on an uptick and they start winning games, it's only going to be good for guys like Sarong and Brayshaw. And I trust Sarong a hell of a lot more than I trust Brayshaw for only 40K difference.
That's what I was going to mention is Brayshaw, the biggest tick for me for Sarong is when Brayshaw came back to his form, 134 against Geelong, Sarong still put out a big 130 plus as well. So that's kind of what I wanted to see is that they could both score well together because I always assumed Brayshaw, although I don't think he's going to be consistent for the year, I assumed he was going to be back in some form and getting good tons here or there at least every few games. So I was like, is that when Sarong's going to start putting out 70s, 80s? I don't quite know. I think now we know both of them going 130 plus this week against Sarong is huge. I know they won that game. It's not like usually a game that you would expect them to win, but especially this year. But his draw following the bye, Richmond, GWS, Essendon, straight after the bye, I think he's going to be a really, really fun player to own, not just this year, but for probably years to come, Sarong. So, very good call by you. Now, I might venture into a different line.
Yeah, do it.
I'm going to point out Tom Stewart. If you're not already an owner of Tom Stewart, he did drop 17K this week with a 91. He's 583K. I think, importantly, his other defensive comrade, Jordan Dawson, is about to bottom out. So these guys kind of bottom out at the same time. So if you want to get the guy with a really, really good buy, coming up against GWS this week, which I think is an incredible matchup for defenders, followed by the Western Bulldogs, which I know is an incredible matchup for defenders. I know his break-even is 128, but he's more than good enough value to go early on, and there's every chance he puts that break-even behind him just this week.
Yeah, I love Tom Stewart. I think he's fantastic, and the buy is like an extra bonus because if it's saving you from a donut in one of the buy rounds, which I know it will probably save most people, that's just points in the bank that you wouldn't otherwise had. So it's he's super, super good. JB, there's a guy here, and I know you want to talk about him because his form is incredible.
The best in the comp.
It's incredibly good. And at 629K midfielder, we're talking about Tom Liberatore. He is averaging for the season 120.
This is not who I wanted to talk about.
I know, but I got you psyched and hyped up and then just the old quick fake out.
I'm now upset.
No, apologies. But Libba's season has been nothing short of extraordinary in terms of Supercoach. I mean, he's put out three games above 140. And his last four games, 140, 100, 141, 126. I know the buy is bad, but because of that as well, he's an ultra POD at someone who's pretty much right up there with the best in the entire game in terms of midfielders. It's pretty much just like Bont, Oliver, and Libba. Then there's like a little bit of a gap. Is he somebody to consider at 629K to move forward? They've got a stupid amount of games at Marvel Stadium.
I just counted that. Eight of the last 13 are at Marvel Stadium.
It's
that is insane.
Crazy.
That is insane.
Like it just says Marvel. Like it's just, yeah, they've got so many games. And if I look at, his last Marvel score, 141, doesn't read too badly. 120 earlier in the season. Should he be on people's radars?
Well, yeah, he absolutely should. I think in an ideal world, he is in your midfield, in your final team. The problem is 630K and the bad buy. He's really someone that I struggle to justify until after the buy. And then at that point, it's round 16. You've missed three Marvel games in a row against Geelong, Port and North, and the game against Gold Coast. He might just be too expensive. I don't think it's going to work out for a lot of people and Liberatore this year. If you are in a financial position, by the way, don't DM me asking if you're in a good enough financial position to get these guys. Like, look at your team. Look at your rookies, look at how many upgrades you need and tell me if you can make your upgrades. look at the guys who you're going to need to get, like the Dawsons and the Stewarts and the midfielders, probably the Clayton Olivers after this week, and tell me if you think you can make those upgrades like realistically in the next 4 or 5 weeks. Just a little side thing there, because I know everyone's going to message me like, hey, I know you said that if you can afford Tom Liberatore, like, can I afford Tom Liberatore? And I was like, I don't know, man. It's your team. Anyway, Tom Liberatore, 630K. I just think he's going to be – I think he's just going to outprice everyone. He like, we just left it a little bit too late before he started trusting him. He started at 575K. He had an 87 in week two, which is his only sub-ton for the year. That kept him under 600K until round six. And then at that point, it was 140, 100, 141, 126. And it's like, well, now I trust him, but I can't afford him. So I think he just made it a little bit too difficult for coaches. But if you're lucky enough to be in that financial position, then he's an absolutely he's a flawless pick, I think. So good job by you guys.
He could be the best pick.
Could be, but I'm going to give you one better.
Yep,
and it is the most informed player in the competition by three-round average.
Okay.
And that's Zach Butters.
I'll give it to you. Dan Houston.
You cannot get Zach Butters.
Okay. I won't. Because I can't.
Coming off of a 184, he is 620K as a forward.
Wow.
That is insanity. His break-even is 33. But if you look at his scores throughout the year, it took him, he had 2 tons in the first 7 weeks. I know he's in unbelievable form. He's played two of his bunny teams, Essendon and North. He plays the other one. He's Richmond next week. And he doesn't want Hawthorn either, but essentially, he'll come down eventually. You can't pay over 600K. For someone like Zach Butters, who is still injury prone, is still prone to be wrapped in wool, he's a huge part of Port's success this year. I think he's less likely to get wrapped in wool than last year when we started horribly, and our season was pretty much over from day five. But this year, he's just not going to keep going 125 plus. Eventually, that will come down. There'll be a couple of sub-tons. And then if you're in a position to sideways someone to him, then potentially that's your option, but not for 620K this week.
But this is projected to almost reach 700K. I feel like...
he's that good.
If he gets to his buy at 700K, would you just sideways trade an Oliver?
No.
I don't know.
Because he's the best player in the comp. He's going to outscore Oliver on the run home. No, but Richmond, he's projected 124. That is severely unders. He'll beat it by 25 points. And then he's projected 142 against Hawthorn.
That's fair.
It's crazy. He's projected 150 against Essendon.
I mean, that's just not happening. Sure.
That's unders. He loves Essendon.
I know he loves Essendon. It's just not happening. There's too many games here that, like, I'm sure he'll average 100 plus on the way home, but if you're
he's not short projected on cash, to go under 100 for the rest of the year.
It's stupid.
Look at that.
It's stupid. This. I love Butters, don't get me wrong, but he's not a better pick than Oliver on the run home.
Well, agree to disagree there, mate.
All right. Well,
no. I think let's not get crazy. He's in good form, but he's prone to sub-ton.
And injury as well. I was going to say, people may have thought, well, why not Dawson? Like, why is now not the time to get Dawson? But Dawson's break-even is so high. Like, now's the exact time when not to get Dawson so that you can get him 30K cheaper next week for, like, 580K. He's 618.
Dawson is the fourth highest break-even in the game this week.
Yeah, 173. So he is projected to fall 30K, which for non-owners, they're probably licking their lips at the moment, because even after this week, his break-even probably goes down to like 140. So he could have two weeks of potential price drops. And that's when you jump on, because he's been so hard to get. It's crazy though, JB, that after his season where he's essentially been unobtainable, it's just going to be under his starting value next week.
Yeah, in perfect time for the buy as well. He'll probably be under his starting value maybe marginally right at his buy. And it's like, how much stress did people sort of exert into getting him at 620, 630, 650K? And it teaches another valuable lesson, is that these guys come back down eventually. And it's only really like Laird last year and Clayton Oliver last year and then Clayton Oliver this year that don't do it, that don't like sort of drop below 600. But even they get to 620, which Clary has done this year. So look, it's never really worth it. And the guys that consistently do it, like Clayton Oliver, I think we just need to start next year.
Yes, I hear you loud and clear. I know this is targeted at me.
By the way,
I hear you 100% loud and clear.
Who do you think has the highest break even?
In the entire game?
Yeah.
Fuck, I don't know. Jared Lyons?
Oh, he's second though.
Oh, that's a good guess.
It was a good guess. His break even is 188. It's Noah Anderson. His break even is 201.
Would you trade him out this week? Is it 630K? Because you could take 100K and go to steal.
Like, why did you trade him in? Like, you point chased that 189, didn't you? And now you got an 88 where he got tagged against West Coast.
Let's
and
say
a 73 against Brisbane.
You brought him in for 550.
1% of the competition started him. We are not talking to 1% of our, not even 1% of our listeners would have started Noah. Like, maybe three listeners right now started Noah Anderson. I'm not talking to three listeners and wasting everyone else's time.
Okay. Well, that's Patreon. Just keep Noah Anderson. So
keep him. He's got Bulldogs, Dawson, then Adelaide, then he has his buy, which is the best buy in the competition. Then Carlton, Hawthorn. I think you just keep him. And if you want to sideways him to, who was I talking about earlier? Libba. If you want to sideways him to Libba or Butters or something like that later, then go for it.
I was going to say Dawson. If you saw that 173 and you thought, wow, he's good, then you saw the 152 and you panic bought him before Hawthorn for 667K. That was a very popular move that week. His ownership shot up by 9%. In his last five games, he's averaged 106.
And he's going to have lost about 100K.
I think I know it is hindsight, but I made a very bad decision boosting and took for, you know, 640K that week. I'm sure there was better value, like Sicily 100K cheaper, that I should have gone with. And obviously, you can't predict the injuries, but still think it was probably too high of a price to pay. And that will be your lessons learned at the end of the season.
Well, he was on 40, like a hefty way into that third quarter.
Yeah, it was good in the score. He was going to drop 40K
it was an injury,
anyway.
But he was, it was a hideous score regardless. But it is unlucky, but it just goes to show, he would have gone under 600K
if he
played that game out with no injury. So it happens. It happens to everyone besides Clayton Oliver.
Yeah, and Bont.
and Bontempelli this year, yeah. So
I'll start those two next year and nobody else good.
Maybe English as well. English might be getting up there. Each year it gets better. But Jermaine Jones has a break even of 152 and he's 390K.
He's been
very good this year. He's been back to back subbed in back to back games because of injury.
No. One to keep your eye on then, I guess, JB, right?
Yeah, that's my JB fun fact to end the podcast. And that will end the podcast. Do you want to do the little sign out thing? I know you enjoy doing it.
Alrighty. Thanks everybody for listening. We definitely appreciate you listening this far in the season. Stick with us through the buys because it will be a nightmare, not for you. Well, I mean, probably for you, but definitely for me and for us. But you can catch us on Twitter at @Dr_SC. You can ask us individual questions if you want. You can find JB at JB_DRC and you can find Chizo at Chizo_SC. Can't find me, and we will catch you next week.
I think you said every one of those handles wrong.
Did I?
You said Chizo_SC.
Oh, yeah, I did. It's Chizo_DRC.
I think you dropped the S from me. You said DRC. DRC.
DRC. There we go. This is what happens when you're podcasting at quarter to...
It is late. It is
half an hour. I don't even know what the time is. Quarter past 11?
Half an hour to 5:27 past 12.
Half an hour to quarter to midnight.
Thanks everyone for listening and we'll catch you guys next week.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien Podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish. But you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.